Hello, welcome to the debate. I'm Kavit Avlayi. What does Senator John McCain, Hillary Clinton, Hilton Adelson, the biggest donor to the Republican Party political groups, and Congressman Duncan Hunter, who's a senior Republican member of the House Armed Services Committee, have in common? Well, they've all called for attacking Iran, with Duncan Hunter calling for bombing Iran with nuclear weapons. In this debate, we'll discuss why these types of statements from U.S. officials are not uncommon and explore whether the U.S. actually has on its drawing board plans for using nuclear bombs were it to attack another country.
The Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty was opened for signature in 1968 with the main global objective of preventing the spread of atomic weapons. Under Article 6 of the treaty, the United States, considered as a nuclear weapons state, is obliged to pursue complete nuclear disarmament. However, not only has Washington not adhered to this obligation throughout the years, it has also sought to modernize its atomic bombs stationed in Europe in a way many experts call the equivalent of creating new weapons. In another act of violation, the United States has been attempting to prevent Iran, a signatory to the NPT, from domestically producing enriched uranium for peaceful purposes. Under the Article 4 of the treaty, Iran, which is considered a non-nuclear weapon state, has the inalienable right to research, develop, and use nuclear energy for non-military purposes. However, the U.S. National Security Council has gone as far as saying that it believes enrichment is not Iran's right. On top of all U.S. violations is the warmongering rhetoric by Washington against Iran. Only on Wednesday, Congressman Duncan Hunter, a senior Republican member of the House Armed Services Committee, said the U.S. should use atomic weapons to attack Iran if Washington wants to go to war with Tehran.
If you have to hit Iran, you don't put boots on the ground. You do it with tactical nuclear devices, and you set them back a decade or two or three. I think that's the way to do it, with a massive aerial bombardment campaign.
Hunter's remarks reflect those of senior Republican Senator John McCain in his campaign for the 2008 presidential election. Responding to an audience question about military action against Iran, McCain had then referred to what he termed as that old Beach Boy tune, Bomb Iran.
That old Beach Boy song, Bomb Iran? Bomb, 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 bomb. Anyway.
Prior to the recent nuclear negotiations between Iran and the permanent members of the UN Security Council plus Germany, which culminated in the November 24th deal in Geneva, the biggest donor to the U.S. Republican Party, Sheldon Adelson, said Washington should begin talks with Tehran only after nuking it.
You see that desert out there? I want to show you something. You pick up your cell phone. Even at traveling rates, you pick up your cell phone, and what do they call them?
Roaming charges.
You pick up your cell phone and you call somewhere in Nebraska and you say, "Okay, let it go." So there's an atomic weapon goes over ballistic missiles in the middle of the desert that doesn't hurt a soul. Maybe a couple of rattlesnakes and scorpions or whatever. And then you say, see, the next one is in the middle of Tehran. So we mean business. You want to be wiped out? Go ahead and take a tough position and continue with your nuclear development.
This is why Tehran has consistently said that its nuclear program is peaceful. Additionally, leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Khamenei, has banned nuclear weapons in a religious decree or fatwa. Still, despite all the threats by the U.S. and its allies, Tehran has shown goodwill gesture to settle disputes over its nuclear program, while at the same time stressing Iran's right to enrichment as a red line.
Well, let me introduce our guest for this edition of the debate. Editor of the MediaChannel.org, Danny Schechter, joins us from New York. And we have Congressional Defense Policy Advisor Frederick Peterson, who joins us from Washington. Well, Frederick Peterson, let me start with you. Let me get a reaction from you. This is what Duncan Hunter has said, this Republican. A massive aerial bombing campaign, I'm quoting him, a massive aerial bombing campaign to include the use of tactical nuclear weapons on Iranian targets, that the U.S. should nuke Iran.
You
Well, my reaction to that would be I think Congressman Hunter was speculating, not advocating necessarily that particular policy. For anyone to advocate a first use of nuclear weapons short of engagement, imminent engagement in war, I think is not certainly not advisable and would not be helpful to the region, would be setting a rather dangerous precedent. I think if there were policy objectives that were, or military objectives that were being sought, they certainly could be done without the use of that threshold, stepping over that threshold to nuclear, which is the very thing that we're trying to avoid. And I think that the issue would become massively more complicated should either side insist on going forward with a nuclear option, either in developing weapons or certainly in first using them.
Danny Schechter, let me get your reaction on this, of what this Republican has said.
Look, first of all, with all respect, the person who just spoke, you know, speaks about nuclear weapons as a policy option. That's a bad idea. It's not helpful. But what about the consequences to people who are exposed to nuclear weapons and are likely to be obliterated through their use? There doesn't seem to be too much concern about that. And I think that's one of the things that we have to be concerned about. Nuclear weapons are horrific weapons. We saw a tryout in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and we saw the consequences. We don't need that in the world anymore, and it seems to threaten nuclear attack at the same time as you support a policy to prevent Iran supposedly from getting nuclear weapons is sheer hypocrisy and demagoguery. And this is what you have to realize. These comments, by Adelson and by this member of Congress, is just a provocation to show how tough he is to his local constituency, perhaps even to show Adelson that he's worth supporting financially. I think this is a completely cynical use of language. You know, when asked, he said, well, are you advocating war? Oh, no, of course I'm not. But if in the event of blah, 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 I mean, this is the way in which people can speak out of both sides of their mouths at the same time. It's reprehensible. It's disgraceful. And it's an example of the kind of political debate taking place in the United States right now, or what passes for a political debate. It's really demagoguery.
Frederick Peterson, do you have a reaction?
Yes, I do. I mean, to on the one hand, deplore demagoguery and untoward political debate, and then to engage in it, is hardly even worth addressing in a proper forum. What we need is a rational approach
and acknowledgement
of the fact that nuclear weapons exist, that they exist in that part of the world, that they are extremely dangerous. And my original statement reached the conclusion that the first use of those weapons was to be avoided, the actual possession of those weapons probably avoided a hot war during the Cold War. And but to twist all of this around and to put words both in Congressman Hunter's mouth and engage the debate to a level of emotionalism
does not contribute to good thought nor to good conclusions is not
really helpful. I didn't interrupt your position, so if you don't want me to interrupt mine, yours, I suggest you let me finish my remarks before you offer your thoughtful perspective, okay? We have a nuclear agreement tentatively reached in that part of the world, which appears to be breaking down. It appears to be breaking down. Alternatives are needed. Clarity is needed. Sound, rational minds need to come to a fair, reasonable conclusion to the power needs, the prosperity needs, and peace within that region, Or if we engage in emotionalism, we're going to end up with an emotional hand on the trigger finger on either side. We don't want that to happen. Mr. Schechter, please comment on that.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Yes, nor do we want a dispassionate, analytical defense of a policy option that is just horrendous, if not totally criminal. I'm not being emotional when I say this. There's a whole history of debate on this issue. It's interesting, isn't it, that Mr. Adelson, who is one of the people advocating nuking Iran, is one of the key supporters of Israel that doesn't support the non-proliferation treaty and has a large number of nuclear weapons, which are rarely discussed in our media and rarely talked about in Israel itself. We have talk about hypocrisy. Don't put that on me. I'm trying to reflect what the political debate in this country is. My argument with the Iranians here is, you know, when a congressman has loose lips like this one has, or Mr. Adelson's provocative remarks, don't take that too seriously, because that's part of a political debate in America to appeal to know-nothingism on certain constituencies. I'm not supporting that. I'm not taking it literally. I'm, in fact, objecting to it. But I'm objecting to it in the context of a debate that's taking place that has no human values to it and no respect for the human rights of the people themselves. Nobody's voted on having these weapons. In fact, all the polls show that all countries should get rid of their nuclear weapons, as the ones I've seen. So it doesn't seem as if the United States is moving in that direction, and certainly Israel isn't either.
Well, let me ask you this, Frederick Peterson. First of all, you talked about I believe, if I understood you correctly, in that part of the world having nuclear weapons. Well, the only one that I know is Israel, although it's undeclared. I mean, sound, rational minds actually should say, well, why is it okay for Israel to have nuclear weapons? Why is the U.S. okay
Pakistan
with that?
Pakistan and India also.
Frederick Peterson.
What was that? The interjection to that, I did not.
Well, you
not
said
quite
in that
catch.
Part of the world, you referred to that part of the world having nuclear weapons. The only one that I'm aware of is Israel, although it's undeclared.
Yes.
So let me ask you this. Why is the U.S. okay with Israel having nuclear weapons?
Well, of course, as you say, that has been undeclared, a widely known, but yet not acknowledged fact that Israel does possess nuclear weapons. Israel has not used those nuclear weapons, and all the time they have been alleged and in all likelihood have them. Israel has not really made irresponsible or emotional statements extraterritorial beyond their own defense. Israel is surrounded by hostile neighbors that have proven that hostility in several wars against them. I know of no war that Israel has engaged in extraterritorially beyond defense of their own territory. And yet the nexus of this question is not nuclear weapons. The question has arisen over the development of nuclear power. It's interesting that would morph into the nuclear weapons question. Plutonium is not necessary in any way for the production of nuclear power. While I would advocate, defend, protect, and support Iran's right to self-determination, while I would do the same for their right to develop their power needs, they're sitting on vast quantities of gas, of oil, which they are putting into greater production now, if we can reach some way to outflow that oil to the world. Nuclear power is really a very dangerous threshold. For that to be crossed is going to incentivize the Saudis, the Turks, UAE, and others within the area to develop competing programs, right. It is going to be an instability, not a stabilizing force within that region. I would advocate for Iran developing their own power needs, but against the introduction of any new weapons into that region.
Danny Schachter, go ahead.
I would point out here, when I was in Tehran, sir, I raised and debated this whole issue of nuclear weapons, because because the safety of nuclear power was not being discussed. Now in the world, in the aftermath of the terrible situation in Fukushima in Japan, many countries are backing away from nuclear power, including Germany and others who are seeing this as not a very safe option. And I tried to point out to the Iranians, yes, you have the right to nuclear power, but is it smart? Is that what you really need? And won't the costs of it and the safety issues be worth considering? One other point, you talked about extraterritoriality in connection with Israel. You don't know that Israel has ever done anything of an extraterritorial type. Well, let me remind you, Israel was deeply complicit with apartheid South Africa in providing nuclear technology to South Africa when the people and the majority of the people in that country was struggling against apartheid. And Israel lined up with the white South African government. This has been well documented, and the new government in South Africa abandoned nuclear weapons that were there as a result of collaboration between Israel and apartheid South Africa. So there is some evidence here of Israel having an economic interest in exporting its technology to other countries. I wouldn't be so quick to say, well, Israel has never used nuclear. Well, you know, neither has China used nuclear weapons. Neither has Russia used nuclear weapons. That doesn't mean that that they should have them. You know, I think that's a stretch, isn't it?
Well, Frederick Peterson, the thrust of this debate is on the number of times that this attacking Iran has come about based on U.S. politicians. I mean, we mentioned in our intro about Senator John McCain, Hillary Clinton, Sheldon Adelson, of which Danny Schachter talked about. Of course, this Duncan Hunter congressman, and also we could keep going on. I mean, I'm looking here at Michelle Bachmann also saying Iran's nuclear facilities must be bombed. So it's not something that's that just happens once in a while or very rarely. This seems to be a trend. And what's scary is the fact that, Duncan Hunter, I don't know if you watched the interview, that the way he expressed his statements, it was with such calm and with such ease in promoting the use of nuclear bombs. I mean, it's a scary thought because, well, the U.S. does possess a wide variety of systems that could carry nuclear warheads.
Actually, as I first expressed, I am concerned with this kind of, with the threshold crossing into a nuclear option as if it was just another replacement for a conventional. It is not, either psychologically or in terms of the consequences of the weapon or the terrible effects of that weapon on the battlefield and on the people and the region and the world, in fact, when you consider the plume that circumnavigates following a detonation. What I am most disturbed about, and it hasn't been discussed yet, and that is the tremendous stress under which this administration is having difficulty after failure upon failure at home in domestic policy, one issue after another. It's almost the issue of the day, and I am afraid that this option may be thought of then as a distraction, as an engagement in distraction to patch over other things that are happening, and that would be most unfortunate. I hope that this vocabulary can be tuned down, refined. I hope that both sides are able to come and talk in good faith to resolve this issue and to take nuclear off the table, not as a power generator, but as anything that contribute to a further nuclearization of that region. The world has it in their interests, the region certainly has it in their interests, and all the people on both sides do. Let's get it done. Let's step away from nuclear. And I quite agree with Mr. Schechter and his
I agree.
The risks of nuclear power.
Well, Frederick Peterson, doesn't sound like you were quite a fan of this nuclear deal that was reached between Iran and the world powers, if I'm guessing correctly on the way that you're describing this deal. But hold on to your thoughts. Let me just take a quick time out, listen to some viewer comments as posted on our Facebook page, and we'll get back to the debate.
Those who entertain such ideas are insane. And if those in the states he represents don't repeal his position in office, they are just as much to blame for allowing such madmen ideas. They are the AIPAC boys. They can't campaign for elective office without monetary assistance from the Zionist lobby. As Iran, I would take such statements extremely serious. He must have stock in tactical nukes and or a war industry representative.
Some of the viewer comments there are posted on Facebook page. Danny Schechter, I do have to ask you this question. Many analysts have reached a conclusion when you have such remarks coming out that this is proof of Israel's growing influence on U.S. congressmen. Do you agree?
Well, you know, is it Israel's influence? I mean, I don't think a lot of these congressmen need Israel, to educate them. In fact, maybe an education at an Israeli university would help them get beyond the parochialism, you know, and the naive political stances that they take. I don't blame it all on Israel, but I think that ratcheting up the rhetoric, I do agree, is very dangerous. It simplifies all of this and emotionalizes it in a way that prevents us from understanding what the real risks are and what the real stakes are. So I agree that we have to tone it down and we have to discuss it, but because some congressman goes off in a wacky way because he's trying to, I believe, raise some money for Mr. Adelson, I don't take that all that seriously, but I can understand why someone outside this country would take it seriously. And unfortunately, this is what happens in these situations, is that rhetoric escalates and reason retreats.
Frederick Peterson, you have a background in Marines, and I really need to find this out. Is it on the drawing board for the U.S. in terms of either from the president down to the highest ranking military officials to have as a plan on the drawing board the use of nuclear weapons in the event of a conflict?
Well, it's no great secret, and it would be an irresponsibility if nations did not have contingency plans and contingency planning. Now, this can be anticipating many, many different ebbs and flows and various coalitions and correlations of forces, how one would react to this circumstance, how one would react to that, including perhaps an invasion from Mars. Yes, there are contingencies that are discussed, that are planned, but there is nothing, to my knowledge, and I certainly would be quite surprised to find, that exists with any in-detail operational planning on this, either now or in the past. But it would be irresponsible not to have nations and defense organizations within nations that anticipate threat and plan to address that threat and use their imaginations to address those matters. But no, I don't believe that there are plans on the boards right now for a practical operational invasion nor use of nuclear weapons in Iran or in anywhere else, actually.
Danny Schechter, you talked about...
Also would like to say...
Let's get Danny Schechter in. Go ahead, Danny Schechter.
I'm saying years ago, there was a very popular movie, Dr. Strangelove, that showed how so-called rational thinking can lead to very irrational, insane outcomes when the logic of all of this takes over. And, You know, we have a security establishment that's really an insecurity establishment. This is the debate now underway with the National Security Agency, which seems to be spying on everybody in the world. Okay, in other words, and they're being accused of paranoia by many European countries and commentators around the world. So, you know, you can get into a security mode and then go off the wall, which seems to be happening in our country right now. And this administration, you know, is not doing much about it, as far as I can tell. So, yes, this is a concern, but I also agree that you know, we can't react and overreact to every comment made by a wacko like Adelson just because he has a lot of money and, you know, in a gambling casino doesn't make him an expert on the nuclear weapons. And to take what he says, you know, seriously is to recognize or not to recognize that in politics there's rhetoric as well as reality, and sometimes the two are in conflict with each other.
Very well. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to leave it there. Thank you very much, editor of MediaChannel.org, Danny Schechter from New York. We're going to bring you back, Frederick Peterson. You can make comments in our further debates. The Congressional Defense Policy Advisor, thank you, Frederick Peterson, talking to us from Washington. And thank you for watching another edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Vitafoy and the team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.